So we are holding on Kuf Lamed Hey Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. This is going to be relevant to, we learned in the Mishnah that we had said in the Mishnah that a suffik, you're not Machal Shabbos for, and we said one kind of suffik is when it's a suffik whether the baby was born in the eighth month or not. Which, as we said, a baby born in the eighth month, the Gemara considers that it's not going to live. So therefore, you wouldn't be able to be Mechal Shabbos for its bris. And so now we're gonna talk about that issue of an 8 month baby and a related thing involving an animal, which an animal could also be born premature, and then you have various dinim with that also. So Tanya, Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer. Kol Shashar Lamed Yom Ba'adam, any human baby that survived for 30 days after the birth, Ene Nefil, is not a stillbirth. So we know at that point that it's even if it was an 8 month baby, then at that point you know for sure the fact that it lived 30 days shows that it's an exception to the general rule and that it's going and that it's going to survive. As the pasuk says, you do pidyon aben when the baby is a month old. Now that doesn't mean, now different mafoshim talk about, does that mean that sometimes you have a case which the Gemara is going to call soon called that we know that kololoi chadashav. Sometimes we have a situation we know for a fact that the baby is born after a full 9 month pregnancy. We talked about yesterday or a couple of days ago. For example, you could have the case where the couple had relations, then the husband was out of town or for whatever reason he and his wife separated, and they didn't have relations after that, and therefore you know exactly when the baby was conceived, and then you can compare that with when it's born. So does that mean that in such a case you would actually do the pidyon aben earlier than 30 days? Not necessarily. Many of the mafoshim say that no, what we're saying is in general, you need 30 days in order to establish whether a baby is viable, and therefore the Torah set up that as the standard time for pidyon aben, even if you have a particular baby where you wouldn't need that because it was known that it was born full term. Later on, we're going to bring in the Gemara that if a baby is born full term, then technically it doesn't need to live 30 days in order to establish that it was viable. But nevertheless, the Torah still establishes 30 days as the standard age for pidyon aben, because in most cases you don't know that for sure, and therefore you want to have that determination. Anyway, so the fact that the Torah mentions 30 days implies that only at 30 days do you know that it's a ben kayama? Do you know that it's a viable baby? And when it comes to an animal, once the animal has lived for 8 days, then again it's not a nafil. Meaning on the eighth day already, it's not a nafil, it's a viable baby. Because the pasuk says on the eighth day an animal is suitable to be brought as a korban. Again, the same idea. In other words, we're not saying that. So before that, you have a suffix, and okay, you may have the occasional case. Where the baby is known to be full term, and in theory, then you shouldn't need that amount. Then, as the Gemara is going to say later, even if it dies on the day it's born, you have reason to think that it was still viable. But still, the Torah al roiv shadaber. The Torah goes according to the majority, and in the majority of cases, you're not going to know for sure. And therefore, the Torah establishes 8 days as the minimum age for a korban. But and the reason is again because most animals you need that 8 days to establish that it was viable. Okay. So the question is, Halay Shaha. Okay, so the question then becomes, in that case, so you're telling me if the baby did not, so you're telling me if 8 days or 30 days respectively have not passed yet, then you don't know for sure if the baby is viable, Sveika Havi, and then it's only a suffix. Whether the baby is viable or not. In that case, Mimhal Hechi Mahalinamai. In that case, how are we ever allowed to do an 8th day bris on Shabbos? What if the baby is a nafil? And if it's a nafil, then it's not really suitable to have a bris milah done. So in that case, it comes out that you're creating a wound in the child where you're not accomplishing the mitzvah, because the mitzvah would only be apparently now you have there is a minhag that even a baby passed away, Rachmana Litzlan, that you do a bris by the grave, but obviously that's not Doicha Shabbos. There you're not accomplishing the real mitzvah of bris milah. So the Gemara is assuming that the same thing over here. If you have a baby that's not viable, if you have a baby that for example, we're saying over here that you have this case in the Mishnah again of and in the Mishnah and in the Gemara yesterday about a baby that was born in the eighth month, where we're saying that we're saying it's not viable and the bris of it is not Mechal Shabbos. So the question is: how would you ever do a bris on Shabbos? So in fact, Tosfos discusses that over here at some length. Are we talking about the usual case where we don't know for a fact whether the baby is an 8-month baby or not, and the question is how we're able to do the milah misafik, because after all, it might be an 8-month baby. Or Tosfos then goes on to say maybe we are talking about actually even a baby that was born that's definitely an 8-month baby. But even that one, after all, if it lives for 30 days, then it means it was after all viable. But the question still is, how do you do its bris on the eighth day? So Amar Abba Molonois Mamonafsha. So Abba says, listen, you can do the bris milah one way or the other, no matter how you look at it. Im chayu, if the baby is going to live, meaning that it was full term, shapra kamahu, then good. Then you're entitled to do the bris milah, because as we learned earlier in the parak, a bris milah bismana is doicha Shabbos. V'im lav, and if not, it's not a big deal. Mechatech bebasar hu, it's in effect just cutting flesh, because then the baby is already considered in a certain sense dead. So therefore, you can't consider that he made a chabura, that he made a wound. Now there is a good deal of discussion among the Achronim about, okay, but we have various reasons why making a chabura is aser. Among them is one is we talked about before, netilas neshama, is that you're removing life from the thing, from the animal or the person or whatever. So fine, in this case you could argue the baby is not really considered alive because it's going to die within 30 days. Because it was born before full term. So fine, if you're going to say from that point of view, then okay. But what about, for example, you have the malacha of dosh involved, of threshing, where you're removing, you're taking the blood out of the flesh that it was embedded in. You may also have the malacha of koitzer, of harvesting. So what about those malachas? So different achronim talk about different possibilities why the Gemara is taking it as a given that you're not going to be over on those. As far as koitzer, actually, the Magen Avraham, there's a Magen Avraham in Hilchos Yom Tov that discusses that maybe by the same token, koitzer doesn't necessarily apply when you're cutting off hair or whatever, or in this case an orla from a person who's already dead, or in this case in effect already dead, because they're not going to be able to live more than a certain amount of time. As far as dosh, the different achronim talk about, the Avnei Nezer among others has a truva where he discusses various angles about it. One of them being one possible angle is that you don't have a gregarious of blood, but against that, on the other hand, you don't need that because you're doing it for the sake of the mitzvah. But after all, he says that the main thing is that dosh is only when you're taking oichel, when you're taking liquid out of an oichel, when you're taking mashka out of an oichel. And over here, the blood is not exactly a mashka, and the flesh of the baby is not an oichel. So therefore, you wouldn't be over on that. Anyway, the point is, Rabbi Adabar Ava is saying if in fact the baby is an 8-month baby, or if you're not sure whether it is or not, then in fact you could do the bris either way, because one way or the other, either the baby is going to survive, and then it was a proper bris, or if not, then you consider in effect that the baby is already dead as of now. Now, that doesn't mean, obviously, that you'd be allowed to do anything to harm the baby at that point. We know the halacha is that even a goysis, even a person who's on their deathbed, we're going to learn actually later on, and we're going to learn towards the end of our Masechta, you're not allowed to do anything to hasten their death. But nevertheless, we would still be saying that in a certain sense, the baby would be considered already dead. Even though right now it's physically alive, but... but uh, Because 8 months, again, Tosfos discusses over here the question, are we talking about a suffix over here where we don't know whether the baby is full term or not? And we're asked, and the question, and the premise of the question was, so how could we do the bris before 30 days on Shabbos? And then you have Rav Ada Bar Abba's answer, or would Rav Ada Bar Abba's answer work even with a definite 8 month baby? So the question is, Ve'ela Hodatanya, Suffolk Ben Zion, Suffolk Ben Ches, Ein Mechal and all of Shabbos. In that case, what about the Bris that we learned yesterday? That if the baby is a Suffolk 7 or 8 months, we said you're not Mechal Shabbos for the Bris. Why not? Am I? Based on Rav Ada Bar Abba's logic, we should be allowed to. Same thing, Nima Leim Manavshech. We should be able to mal the baby either way you look at it. Same thing as we said before. Because if the baby is going to live, meaning if it was really, again, we're saying it's a suffix 7 or 8 month baby. So if it really was a 7 month baby, then you're doing a proper bris because such a baby can be expected to survive. And if not, then you're just cutting dead. Then you're just cutting dead flesh. So the same logic that Rav Ada Bar Abba used just before, we should be able to use in that case of the Suffolk Ben Zion, Suffolk Ben Ches. So why don't we?
Who says that you can?
One second, Avraham Moshe Eli is asking something first, right?
Right now it has the Suffolk.
Right.
And it's a living, and even if it passes away,
That's true. And the fact is, you do a bris, like I was saying before, you do a bris even when a baby passed away, but you're definitely not doing a Shabbos for that. So the question is, so you're asking, the baby right now is alive, that's true, but the Gemara is asking, and it has an neshama, right, but the Gemara is asking, so how could you be Mechal Shabbos? So again, you have Rav Ada Bar Abba's logic that one way or the other, you can do it, because either you're doing a proper bris, or you're only doing Mechatech Labasar. If we consider the baby's already dead, is already in effect dead, then we say, then you're not really being over on any Malacha. So we could use the same logic if it's a Suffolk. What we can ask Avraham Moshe?
Who says that cutting dead flesh on Shabbos is mutar?
You're allowed to. Who says you're cutting dead flesh on Shabbos is mutar? You tell me. When you have meat at your table on Shabbos, you're not allowed to call it.
Well, that's different. That's not dead flesh. That's meat to eat. You're not going
Same
to
thing.
Eat the.
No, obviously, obviously, you're not going to eat. And in fact, the Avne Nezer, that's what I was saying. The Avne Nezer and his Truva mentions that would be a reason not to worry about the Malacha of Dosh in this case. Usually you have one, we talked about earlier in the Masechta, when you wound a person or an animal on Shabbos, one of the Malachas that can be involved is Chovel. So you have them, it's called Chovel, where you're wounding them. One of the Malachas that can be involved is Dosh. The original Malacha of Dosh, the Av Malacha of Dosh, is that you're threshing grain to get the kernels of wheat out of their shells. And in this case, Dosh would include, for example, according to many Rishonim, Dosh would include also, for example, extracting a liquid from the flesh that it was in. For example, milking a cow. Tosfos discusses earlier in the Masechta that milking a cow may be Dosh. But over here, the Avne Nezer says, since you're not going to be drinking the blood and you're not going to be eating the flesh, then dosh is not really an issue.
But, fine, we're not talking about dosh. I'm asking a question about cutting flesh that you're not going to use for any other purpose.
That's fine. But if what we're saying is, though, it doesn't matter the fact that you're not using it for any other purpose. If you were doing something constructive, then that would be a malacha of Shabbos. We know that destructive things are not a malacha on Shabbos. We already established that earlier. So if the baby is not going to survive, then this bris, in that sense, would be considered destructive. You haven't really accomplished anything as far as the mitzvah.
So right now, as Eli said, he's alive.
But right now he's alive. But one second. But if he's going to die within 30 days, then the Gemara is saying that the fact is we can't say that bris milah is accomplishing anything. Yes, you can say that ultimately you would have had to do the bris, and that's fine. But you do it on a weekday. Then why would you do it on Shabbos? And the answer is, so again, Rav Ada Bar Abba said that you could, because either way, either the baby is going to live and then it's a valid bris, or it's not. And then, in other words, what we're saying, it's just mechaftech babasahu. It's just, in other words, it's mekalkel. You're not making a chabura, because a chabura, by definition, is made only in a living creature, and this isn't considered living.
That's purely speculative. What's going to happen in the future?
The fact is,
this baby is right now alive.
Avraham Moshe, we know that the baby is alive right now. The question is, we started with Reb Shimon Gamliel's statement that until the baby is 30 days old, we don't know if it's going to live. So now the question becomes, how are we allowed to do a bris on Shabbos? The question isn't why we should do the bris. Of course we should do the bris. The question is, why are we doing it on Shabbos? And the answer is, because and we have Rav Adar Bar Abba's answer. So now that we have Rav Adar Bar Abba's answer, then the question is, why wouldn't that apply to the case that we learned yesterday in a Braisa, where you have a suffix with a baby, whether it's a 7-month or an 8-month baby? You could use the same logic and say that the bris should be mutter to be done on Shabbos. You understand?
You haven't answered the question that I'm asking about cutting
you're
flesh on Shabbos.
Question that right now, you're asking the question that right now the baby is alive. That's fine. We're asking, but on the other hand, if the baby is not going to survive, if we knew for a fact that the baby was not going to survive, then on the face of it, we should not be able to do the bris on Shabbos, because the bris can only be done on a viable baby. You can't do Chalal Shabbos for a non-viable baby.
Fine. Let's assume we accept this reasoning. My question was about cutting flesh that you're not going to use on Shabbos. Can you do that?
But it doesn't. No. Again, cutting flesh that you can't use on Shabbos would be a malacha she'en etzricha legufa. We already talked about before that malacha she'en etzricha legufa you're potter for. So now, if anything, okay. So if you're doing it for the mitzvah of bris milah, then you are doing it legufa. But if you're not accomplishing a mitzvah of bris milah, then there's no legufa over here. So certainly according to Reb Shimon, it wouldn't be considered a malacha. But what we're saying is beyond that. We're saying that there's no malacha of cutting flesh. There's a malacha of chabura, of making a wound. And if we're talking about a dead creature, or in this case, a baby that's considered in a certain sense to be dead lahalacha, then there wouldn't be a malacha of making a chabura. So there wouldn't be a malacha, there wouldn't be netilas neshama, because there's no neshama to take. Yes, right now the baby is alive, but again, we're talking about hypothetically, if we knew for a fact it wasn't going to live, then it wouldn't be considered netilas neshama, as far as the halachas of Shabbos are concerned anyway. So that's what Rabbi Adar Bar Abba is saying, that you're not going to have a malacha either way. Either you're accomplishing a valid bris, or you have not done netilas neshama. So now the question is, why does that not apply to the suffix? So the Gemara continues, Omer Ma'a Breda Ravina, Anov Rab Nechumi Bar Zachariah Targimna. So Ma'a Breda Ravina says, I and Rab Nechumi Bar Zachariah explained, Mimhol Hochi Nami Mahalinimle. As a matter of fact, when we said before that a Suffolk Ben Shiva, Suffolk Ben Shmoina, this baby that it's a Suffolk, whether it's a 7 or an 8 month baby, we said you're not Machal Shabbos for the bris. So Ma'a Breda Ravina and Rab Nechumi Bar Zachariah explain, actually you do the bris itself on Shabbos. When we say that you don't, Lenitzucha El Machshire Mila. The braisa that's saying you're not Machal Shabbos means as far as the Machshire Mila, for example, bringing a knife, making a knife or whatever, and we go back to Val Liba de Rabbi Yezer. We're going back to the logic that we're going back to Rabbi Yezer that we learned about at the beginning of the Perek, who said that usually you can be Mechalel Shabbos for Machshirei Mila. Usually he says you'd be allowed to make a knife on Shabbos or carry it, etc. But Rabbi Yezer would only say that only if you know for a fact that it's full 9 months since the baby was conceived. If it was a Suffolk, then Rabbi Yezer would agree that you can't. But the actual bris itself, not necessarily as the Brais is saying you wouldn't do on Shabbos. So according to that, then actually a suffix bris you would do on Shabbos, if the eighth day comes out on Shabbos, you wouldn't do Machshire Mila, but since the halacha is not like Rabbi Yezer, that's not really relevant anyway. We're not finished the discussion yet. And in fact, in Shulchan Aruch, it talks about that, in principle, if you have the suffix, you actually have a machlokas aposkim, what the actual halacha is. Do you do the bris of a suffix or not? Again, as we learned before, Tosfos says, so far as the dinim of not being able to move the baby, etc., that we talked about yesterday, that we don't really apply nowadays because it's hard to know whether it really is an 8-month baby or not. And Befrat, Tosfos mentions over there and also over here, if the baby is born with fully developed hair and nails, then anyway, we consider it to be a 7-month baby that was delayed. And then for sure, it's considered viable. When you have a suffix, then you have the, when you have a suffix about whether the baby is full term or not, then you have the question whether you can malam on Shabbos. But again, practically speaking, nowadays there's a bit less of an issue with it. A baby that's premature usually is not going to be ready to have his bris on the eighth day anyway yet. So and then of course if it's later than the eighth day, you're anyway not machal Shabbos. Okay. So Gemara continues. The Gemara continues. Omar Abaya Katanoi. This is actually a machloikas tanoim. Rashi says we're talking about Rav Adabar Ava's logic. That we're able to do the bris regardless, and we're saying that if the baby is not going to live, it's not considered making a chabura. It's only considered cutting dead flesh. We're going to see. Says Abaya from a brisa that we're going to quote that it's actually a machloikas tanoim. There are Rishonim who explain that actually Abaya is referring back to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel's original statement that if a baby animal survives for 8 days and it's not a nafel, but any earlier than that, it might actually be a nafel. So according to that way of understanding it, that Amban, for example, brings is that Abaya is actually referring to that not all Tanoim agree with that statement. So like this, the Braisa says, the Pasuk says, if an animal that you're allowed to eat dies, then the animal is nevela, and then the animal is nevela, and then it's metame, a person who touches it or carries it. So what is the word? It comes to include an animal that was born after an 8-month pregnancy. The word la'ochla, to eat, implies, in other words, that you have such an animal as metame, lahavi ben shmona, it comes to eat. It comes to include an animal that was born after an 8-month pregnancy. She'en shchitasim etahartei. The shchita of such an animal is not metaharet, meaning that since we're talking about a large animal, we're talking about cattle, which have 9-month pregnancies like human beings do. Smaller animals, we learned in Cholin, smaller animals, sheep and goats, have actually 5-month pregnancies, and with them a preterm baby would be that it was born in the 4th month. But over here we're talking about a large animal, a cow gave birth within the 8th month. Again, what we're saying is that such an animal is not going to live. Such an animal is not going to live. So therefore, even you shechted it, then it's not metaharet. The flesh of that animal is still going to be metame as a nevela. In that sense, well, the difference is, yeah, the same thing with an animal as with a child, the 8th month. The difference is, as we said before, that with an animal, you only need 8 days to establish that's viable. For a human baby, you need 30 days. But so the Tanakhama is saying over here that if you shechted this baby born after an 8-month pregnancy, nevertheless, the flesh of it is still metame as a nevela because it wasn't expected to live. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omim, Shchitasim etahartei. On the other hand, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon say no. The shchita of this baby animal is metaharet and makes it obviously you can't eat it, but it's not metame as a nevela. So my lab b'ha'ka miflegi. So says Abaya, wouldn't it be obvious? That's the machlokas that we're arguing over the point that Rabbi Adar bar Ava said, or the point that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said. The marasav achayu or marasav amesu. So the Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon are going to hold that the baby is considered alive, so it may not live very long, but right now it is alive. Therefore, the shchita of it is like the shchita of any other animal. It takes away the trumas nevela, whereas the Tanakhama would hold that the baby is already considered dead, and therefore the shchita doesn't accomplish anything. It would be the equivalent of taking an animal that's already dead and shechting it. Again, applying that to Rav Adar bar Ava's logic, then we would say that when Rav Adar bar Ava is saying that if the baby, we're talking again about a bris, that if the baby is going to live, then it was a valid bris, and if not, then it's mechatech b'basar. We would say that Rabbi Yosi would be Hoda, and Rabbi Elazar of Shimon would not agree with that statement, because just like they say with the animal that it's still considered alive right now and the shchita is still effective even though it's going to die soon, the same thing they would say as far as the baby, that even though the baby is going to die soon because it was born after an 8-month pregnancy, still right now it's alive and right now cutting it would be a malacha. And again, you can't be doicha Shabbos for that because the baby is not full term. Or, according to the understanding that we're talking about Reb Shimon Gamliel, then we'd be saying that Reb Shimon Gamliel had said that only if a baby animal lives for 8 days is it not a nephil. But Reb Yosef of Yehuda and Reb Elazar of Reb Shimon would say, you don't need that. You can shecht it right away. So that seems to be the machlokes. Amar Rava, however, Rava says, if that's how you're going to understand the machlokes in this braisa, ad miflgila inyan tuma batara, then why are they arguing about the specific matter of whether the flesh of this animal is metame or not? Liflgila inyan achila. It's a less common, thing to talk about whether it's metame or not. Talk about whether you can eat it or not. They should be arguing about, the Tanakama should be saying that you shechted this animal, you still can't eat it because it's already considered a nevela, because it's not going to live for very long. And Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon would say you're allowed to eat it. Now, says Rava, so that's not the proper understanding of the machlokes. Ela dekula alma mesu. No, what we're going to say is both the Tanakama and Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon all agree that the animal is considered, if it was born preterm, that it's considered already dead. Which then, again, returning to Rabbi Adar Bar Abba's logic then, it would mean, again, that doing a bris on such a baby would be mechatech babas, so it would just be considered cutting dead flesh. Therefore, the shchita is not, the shchita doesn't help you to be able to eat, in the case of an animal, doesn't help you to be able to eat it. Or going back to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's thing, we would say that you still do need 8 days, and if it hasn't lasted for 8 days, then you can't eat it. But the machloikas is, they take the view that fine, even you're going to say that this animal is going to die soon because it was born preterm, fine, but it's no worse than a trefa. Trefa lav afagav the mesa hishchitasim etaharta. Look, and if an animal was trefa, after all, the halacha is that you can't eat it after it's shechted, but nevertheless, the shchita accomplishes that it takes away tumas nevela. So the same thing, it's no different over here. So there's no machlokas about eating it. Fine, as far as eating it, we consider it already dead. But so what? A trefa is also not going to live for very long, and yet the shchita of it helps. So therefore they say the same thing over here, it should help. And therefore the animal is not going to be considered nevela. So what we're saying is, if the baby animal was born after an 8-month pregnancy, what Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon are saying is, even before it reached its 8th day of life, if you were to shecht it, you can't eat it, but at least the meat of it is not going to be nevela. It's not going to be metame tumas nevela. So the same thing over here. Hochanami lo shna. So the same thing over here. It's no different. So a trefa and an animal born after an 8-month pregnancy would be the same thing according to them. So then applying that to our case of Mila, again, even they would agree that the shchita does not help to eat the animal. So the same thing, even they would agree that if the baby is in fact not full term and is going to die soon, that the Mila is not a Mila. But fine, then you're like Rabbi Adar Bar Abba said, it's mechatech babasar. It's only cutting dead flesh. And therefore, so in the case of Mila, obviously you don't have the issue of taking away tumas nevela. The question is whether you can be mechalal Shabbos for such a mila. But again, if we say that it's mechatech babasar, then there's no chilul Shabbos involved. And if you say that the baby is in fact going to live, then it was a valid bris. So everybody could agree with Rav Adar Bar Abba's logic. V'Rabbanan, now what would the Rabbanan answer to that? Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon are saying that, listen, this preterm baby animal should be no worse than a trefa, and everybody agrees that if you shech the trefa, then it takes away tumas nevela. V'Rabbanan, so what do the Rabbanan answer to that? They say, le'domi le'trefa, it's not similar to a trefa. Trefa hoysel shasa kosher, because after all, a trefa animal, it used to be kosher to shecht, before it became trefa. Now it's trefa, so now it's not going to live for another 12 months. But up until that point, it was the normal animal, and you could have shechted it, as opposed to over here, hi, lo shasa kosher. Over here, the baby animal that was born premature never had a shasa kosher. There was never a time when it could be expected to survive. So again, if it lasted for 8 days, then fine. We're saying at that point, it's not a nephil anymore. So in that at that point, you could shecht it like any other animal. But within the 8 days, it didn't have a shasa kosher. There's no reason to think that it's going to live for 8 days because it was born premature. So it's not similar to a trefa. V'chi teima trefa mibetin ma'ikol meimar. So you're going to say, okay, well, after all, you could have an animal that was born trefa. So then it didn't have a shasa kosher either. The difference is, hasam yesh b'mina shchita. The difference is that fine, but an animal that was born Schaefer is not really a different kind of situation. You have animals are born, and sometimes some of them are born. Sometimes some of them are born with a Schaefer already. But at least Schitta applies to other kinds of animals that are born like that after a regular pregnancy. So other ones like that, you would be able to shecht in principle on the day they're born. Hocha in memina shchita, as opposed to over here, when the animal was born premature, that kind of animal, it's almost like a different species of animal because it was born before full term pregnancy. That kind, there's no shchita wouldn't apply to it because again, shchita is not going to help you to eat it. Even Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon agree that you're not going to eat it. So the Chachamim say, therefore, the shchita of it doesn't help as far as taking away the Tumas Nevela either. So in other words, Rava is saying that machloikas is not really relevant to our case of Bris Mila. That machloikas is a specific thing that has to do with halachas of Tumah V'Tahara and the question of whether we treat this animal as similar to a Treifa or as similar to a Nevela, but that doesn't really have any bearing on our question about doing a bris on a baby that was an 8-month baby or a Suffolk 7 or 8 month baby. Okay. All right, so now the Gemara says, let's get back to Reb Shimon Gamliel. We started the sugya by saying that Reb Shimon Gamliel had said that if a human baby lives for 30 days, then it's not considered a nafel. And if an animal baby lasts for 8 days, then it's not considered a nafel. So the question is, mi pligi rabbanon alei de Reb Shimon Gamliel oloi? Do the chachamim argue with Reb Shimon Gamliel or not? He's saying these things, 30 days and 8 days. Does everybody agree with him or do they not? Now, according to the Rishonim, that we said before that when Abaya said ketanoi, it meant that what Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon is saying is machlokas tanoim, then obviously we would think that not. But on the other hand, we established that not necessarily, because we said not necessarily are Rabbi Yossi, not necessarily are Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon arguing with the Tanakama on the point that we were saying before. They could be arguing on a side point whether this baby is considered more like a nevela or a trefa. So they could both agree with his premise that once 8 days have passed, then for sure it's not a nafel. But now let's revisit that question. Do they in fact agree, or would they say that maybe not? Maybe they would say you don't need 8 days, or if I can, maybe they would say even after 8 days, not necessarily, it could still be a nafel. So do they argue with him or not? And if you're going to say that they do argue with Reb Shimon Gamliel, halacha kamoise, ein halacha kamoise. What's the bottom line halacha? Would the halacha be like him that you look at the 30 days or the 8 days or not? So Gemara says Toshma. We learn in a brisa, egel shenolad biyamtiv. If a calf was born on yamtiv, shechtin oise biyamtiv. You're allowed to shecht it on that same yamtiv. Meaning that it's not considered muktzah. Now, why is it not muktzah? Because Rashi explains, because before, when Yom Tov began, it wasn't muktzah. You could have at that point shechted the mother and the baby would have been mutter as well. It's called a ben pekur, which we learned about in Cholin. So it was mochan before, it is mochan now. The point though being, in other words, we're saying that you could shecht it on the day it was born. So you see, apparently the Chachamim disagree with Reb Shimon Gamliel. Reb Shimon Gamliel would require you to wait 8 days just in case it was a nafel, for the eighth day, actually, whereas the Chachamim would allow you to shecht it on the day that it was born. The Gemara says, not necessarily. Not necessarily. That Braisa could be talking about where you know for a fact that the baby was full term. So let's say, for example, you had the two animals mated. After that, you separated the mother animal from the rest of the herd. Let's say, and you made sure that it's not mating with any other animal afterwards. So now, when it gives birth, you know for a fact you can count and you can see it was full 9 months or full 5 months for a sheep or a goat or whatever. Then you can say, listen, Reb Shimon Gamliel is only talking about when he says that you need the 30 days or the 8 days is when the baby may have been born premature, but over here. It wasn't. It was definitely born full term. Therefore, you could say that. Therefore, even Reb Shimon Gamliel might agree that you could shecht it on the day it was born. But the Chachamim might. So there might not be a machlokas. Again, the Chachamim might agree that if there's a suffix, you have to wait for the eighth day. But if there's no suffix, you'd be allowed to shecht it on the day it's born, and it wouldn't be considered a nafel. Okay. Toshma, the shovin. Let's bring another proof. A braisa says, you have Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon argue in the case of a bechor. So we know that a bechor of an animal, you have to give it to the kohen And nowadays, since there's no Beis HaMikdash, then you wait until it develops a mum, and then the Kohen can shecht it and eat it. So the question is, are you allowed to, on Yom Tov, have an expert look at a mum that developed in a Bechur and see whether you're allowed to shecht that animal or not? So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon argue whether you're allowed to do that. But the Braisa continues, V'shavin, both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon do agree, she'im nolad hu umumoy imoy, that if the baby was born with a mum, shezem in a mochan, that it's considered mochan. Rabbi Yehuda, who says that even Rabbi Yehuda, who says you're not allowed to look at a newly developed mum on Yom Tov, because he would say it's not mochan, because he would say before Yom Tov, you didn't have any intention to eat this animal because it was still also to eat. So now all of a sudden, in the middle of Yom Tov, you're looking and you're saying it has a mum and it's mutter to eat. Rabbi Yehuda would say that doesn't matter, it still remains muktzah for the rest of Yom Tov. But if it was born with a mum, then already it's mina mochan, because then you're allowed to look at the mochan, then you're allowed to look at the mum on Yom Tov because there was no chazaka of Isser yet. Actually, it actually brings from the Gemara and Beitza, we have to be talking about a case after all. I mean, even if the baby was born with a mum, so what? It's not mutter until you have the Chachamim look at it, and until you have the Dayanim look at it and see that it's mutter. So Rashi explains, based on the Gemara over there, the situation would have to be that the Dayanim actually saw while the baby was being born. So as soon as it was born, they right away saw the mum. As opposed to if, let's say, the baby was born and later on you called over the Chachamim, that still wouldn't work, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Anyway, the point is that, again, that's considered mukhan. And again, the implication is, therefore, you're allowed to shecht it and eat it right away on that Yom Tov. Now, fine, from the point of view of the dinim of Bechor, fine. But from the point of view of that we're saying that it needs to be a certain age before it's considered not a suffix navel, shouldn't you have to wait? Again, if we're saying you don't have to wait and you're allowed to shecht it that day, that seems to be imply that it's not, that we don't worry about the eight-day situation, not like Reb Shimon Gamliel. The answer is not necessarily, because again, Hachinami Shekol Olei Chadashav, again, we could be talking about over here where it was definitely born full term, and even Reb Shimon Gamliel would agree, therefore, that you're allowed to shecht it on that day. Okay. Tashma, the Amr of Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, Halacha, Reb Shimon Gamliel. Well, we can prove, because Reb Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, the Halacha is like Reb Shimon Gamliel, and Halacha Miklal the Pligi, the fact that he has to say the Halacha is like him implies that there's Machloikas, otherwise there's no reason to mention it. So Shema Mina, that proves it. The Chachamim do in fact argue with Reb Shimon Gamliel. So we don't need, therefore, we just explained the two brises that we were saying as talking about Kol Olei Chadashav. Now we don't need that. Now we could say that those brises are talking about that we don't know for sure whether it was a full-term baby. The Chachamim would say it doesn't matter, you're still able to shecht it on that day. Reb Shimon Gamliel is machmer and says you have to wait 8 days just to be on the safe side. So fine, the Halacha is like him and not like the other Chachamim. Okay. Amar Abaya. So Abaya says, now, let's get further into this detail of what happens. So we're saying, again, with a human baby, it has to live for 30 days. And let's return to that point. Now, you have, obviously, if a baby dies within 30 days, there could be a number of different possible causes. It could die of natural causes, or it could die in some accident. So let's look at that and see what the dinim are. So Amar Abaya, nafal min agag ochlei ari, if the baby fell off a roof and died within the 30 days, or if a lion ate it. So what we mean in those, there was some external factor that caused it to die. Divrei hako chai hu, everybody would agree that this baby was considered to be one that would have lived. Because after all, if it hadn't been for this external factor, preposterous, it would have lived for 30 days. Most babies do, after all. So therefore, so it would be considered alive. And as the Gemara is going to say in a minute, the nafkamina about that is involving the dinim of Yibum. So ki pligi, says Abaya, when are they arguing about shepihik v'mes? If the baby yawned and then passed away. Meaning, Rashi explains that it means like after the baby was born, there was only it was like only barely alive. It just had the strength in order to be able to yawn, and then the baby passed away. That's when you'd have the machlokas. Marasova chayhu or marasova mesu. That is when Reb Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim would be arguing. Given that it was within the 30 days, do we consider that this baby was still considered lahalacha alive or not? Now, Lamai Nafkamina, what would be the Nafkamina? Whether the fact is the baby is dead either way, the Nafkamina would be Lifter Minayibum. Suppose that Suppose that the baby was born at suppose that the father had no suppose the father passed away and he had no other children. If we say this baby was considered to be alive, then his mother is Potter from Chalitza and Yibum. If you say that it's considered that he wasn't really alive, like Rav Shimon Gamliel saying that he's a Suffolk Nafel, then his mother would eat Chalitza. She can't do Yibum because you can't do Yibum because after all the baby might, it's only a Suffolk. Rav Shimon Gamliel saying it's only a Suffolk, so she might actually have had children, and then if she marries the brother, then it would be an Isser Erva. So Yibum they can't do, but she'd need Chalitza to be on the safe side. If the baby survived for 30 days, then for sure, yeah. But what we're talking about over here is, again, we're saying so far, Abaye is saying that if the baby passed away within 30 days, but it yawned, like it didn't pass away from some external factor, like falling off the roof or whatever. So now the question is, was it ever considered alive? Was it full term and it would have lived for a long time like most babies do? Or was it preterm and it was expected to pass away within 30 days? Like this, you only saw chayus mu'at in it in the first place. So maybe therefore it wasn't really considered fully alive and therefore it wouldn't pater the mother from chalitza or yibum. So in this case, yibum you can't do, but you'd have to do chalitza. By the way, you have a machlokas rishonim. What about what happens if the baby died of some kind of disease? You were saying in the Gemara, piyek v'mes, it yawned and then it passed away. But does that mean, so what happens if it passed away, if some kind of disease? Would we say, therefore, that that's considered like an external factor, like falling off the roof? Or would we say, and then so far, Abaye is saying everybody would agree that without that, the baby would have lived a long time. Or maybe not. The very fact that it succumbed to this disease shows that it didn't really have full chayus. Yeah, machlokas were showing him on that point. Anyway, the point is, the point is nafum and agaga ochle yari divrei hakochayhu. So actually, the Gemara is asking it as a question. So the point is, in other words, so Abaye is saying, so again, if the baby died of some other external factor, we do retroactively consider that it was alive up to that point. In other words, we would have expected that it was going to live for 30 days, like most babies do. We wouldn't say, in other words, that the likelihood is that it was an 8-month baby and it wouldn't have lived. We say the likelihood is it was a normal baby and it would have lived long if it hadn't been for that accident. So therefore, the mother is potter from chalitza, as opposed to if it just passed away, if it just yawned and then in other words only had a little bit of chayus and then passed away, then we would say it's a suffolk. That's when Reb Shimon Gamliel would be saying it's a suffolk, and therefore the mother needs chalitza. So the question is, so you're telling me that if the baby passes away of some other external factor, Then everybody would agree that the baby was considered alive, and therefore, as far as human babies, it would mean that the mother is potter from chalitza, and as far as animal babies, would mean you're allowed to eat it after you shecht it. But v'hara papa for Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua iklu lebei Brei Rav Idi Ba'avin. Rav Papa and Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua one time visited the house of the son of Rav Idi Ba'avin. V'avad lu egla tilsa. He made for them a third calf, which we've learned before. There's a few different explanations what a third calf means. It means very good quality, but does it mean third born from its mother, where the mother then is at the peak of her strength? Does it mean the calf is one third of its growth? Which actually Tosfos elsewhere asks that we're going to say over here in the next words of the Gemara over here that was within the 7 days. You can't say it grew a third of its growth in 7 days. So, and a third possibility is just tilsa means very important. Whatever it is, the point is it was a really good quality animal. The mama de shiva, but he shechted it on the 7th day after it was born. The amri le, so the papa and Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua told him, e itrichitu le ad la'urta, if you had waited with shechting this animal until the evening, until tonight, have achlin and mene, then we would have eaten from it. Because once it reaches the 8th day, it's not a nafel. Now, as far as a korban, you can't bring it as a korban until the next day, but that's a side thing. That's because you can't bring korbanos at night. But in terms of the dinim of it not being a nafel, as usual, we say miktas ayin kakulai, part of a day is considered like the whole day. Therefore, so once the night would have come, it would have been considered non-anafel. Now we're not going to eat from it because it might have been a anafel. Now, here, obviously, the animal didn't die of natural causes. It was shechted. And yet they're saying that there's a problem. implying not like what Abaya is saying. Abaya is saying that if the baby didn't die of natural causes, then everybody would agree it wasn't a nafal. But over here, this baby animal didn't die of natural causes. It was shechted. And still, Rav Papa and Rav Huna Bar Eder Rishua are saying that you can't eat from it because it might have been a nafal. So no. Ella, so it's the other way around. We have to, Abaya's answer would go the other way around. Shapiak the mess, if the baby just yawned and then passed away, Direhako Mesu, everybody would agree that that baby is considered dead to begin with, meaning that his mother would need Yibum. In that case, if the father would need Yibum or Chalitza, if the father had no other children. Okay, the machlokas is, if the baby died of some external cause, for example, falling off the roof or being eaten by a lion, or in the case of the animal that was served to the papa and from the bread of Yeshua, where it was shechted. So now, Mar Sava Mesu or Mar Sava Chayu? Reb Shimon Gamliel is still going to say that the baby is considered to be mess, because the fact of the matter is it didn't live for full 30 days or the full 8 days. The death was from some other cause. We don't care about that. Whereas a chamin would say that you can still consider it chai, because after all, if it hadn't been for that, it probably would have lived longer. Okay. So the Gemara tells in this connection, Breidir Abdimi Bar Yosef Isyuladlei Hahu Yenuka. The son of Rav Dimi Bar Yosef had his wife had a baby boy, the goy tlos in yoimen shchiv. Within 30 days, that baby passed away. Yosef comes abel levay. So Rav Dimi Bar Yosef, the father, was sitting shiva for the baby. Amalei avor. So his father, Rav Yosef, tells him, tzavra nisa kabois lamechal. Are you looking to eat the delicacies that they feed an oval? In other words, like this, they serve a soda to the oval to make him feel better. Are you looking to do that? Why are you sitting shiva when you're not required to for a baby that passed away within 30 days? Tosfos over here gives the girsa, not tzavra nisa with a resh, but sud nisa with a dalad, maloshen seda, maloshen food. Anyway, the point is that Rabbi Yosef is telling him, is telling his son, Rav Dimi, why are you sitting shiva for this baby when it passed away within 30 days? You don't need to do that. The answer is, because I know for a fact that this baby was kololei chadoshav. Meaning, I know for a fact that it was a full-term pregnancy. Again, he had had relations with his wife. After that, they didn't have relations. So he knew for a fact that throughout the pregnancy, or at least until the baby, I mean, you could also have another case, hypothetically, could be, for example, where they just abstain from relations during the first 3 months. Once 3 months already, then the pregnancy is noticeable. Then if they have relations, obviously after that, the new baby is not being formed over there. So that would be another case. Whatever the case, Rav Dimi is saying that I know for a fact that this baby was born after a full 9 months pregnancy, and therefore I am sitting shiva for him, which in fact is the halacha. Technically, if you know for a fact that a baby was born that a baby was born full term, then in principle you should sit shiva for it. Although in practice, I don't know anybody who does that. Even though nowadays, in general, they have ways of knowing whether the baby was full term, but nevertheless, it doesn't seem anybody does that. Excuse me, what? No, right. Well, nowadays, there is also the point that even if a baby is born during the 8th month, they may live anyway, right? But nevertheless, we still usually say that if a baby passes away within the first 30 days, Rahman al-Islam, usually you don't sit shiva for them. Okay. Anyway, similarly, Rav Ashi ikla bei Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi one time visited the house of Rav Kahana. Itre bei milsa begot plus in Yemen. Something bad happened to him within 30 days of the baby was born. In other words, the baby passed away. Chazya de Yosef comes abel levay. So Rav Ashi saw that Rav Kahana was sitting shiva for the baby. Omalei, so he says, don't you hold of what we said before that Shmuel says the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel? So until the baby lives 30 days, it's considered a suffolk nafal. So why is sitting shiva? And again, he says the same answer. Omalei kim li bigabe shekol olei chadoshav. I know for a fact that this baby was born after a full term pregnancy. Okay. Itma. So now let's have a further discussion about this topic. Mes besoch shloshim. What happens? You have a case again. The father had no other children. The father had no other children. So therefore, yibum or chalitza now becomes a question. What if the baby that she had, let's say Rashi brings over here, the baby was born after the father passed away. Really, it wouldn't matter. If the baby was born before the father passed away and outlived the father, the same din would apply. Anyway, and in fact, on the side over here, it brings a girsa, tzorichlius v'chaylach, misavu. It lived after the father passed away, because that's really the key thing. It doesn't really matter so much whether the baby was born after the father passed away or not. The key thing is that the baby lived sometime after the father passed away. Now, so let's say the baby passed away within 30 days, but umdav niskadra. Now, this mother went and was niskadish to somebody else. Now the question is, does she need chalitza or not? After all, she's not allowed to marry anybody else without doing chalitza or yibum with the yavam. So So what happens to the kedushin that she did over here? So amar avinu mishmei derabba, it depends. Im eshes yisraeli, if the man that was mekadesh her the second time was a yisrael, so a yisrael after all is allowed to marry a chalitzes, then you have her do chalitza first, because with the brother of the mess, right? So in other words, the point is there's no harm in doing that because she's still going to be able to marry. So you had two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. Then you had an unrelated guy, Yosef. So Reuven passed away. And Reuven was her husband, passed away. She should have to do chalitza or yibum with Shimon. Instead, she thought, because I had a baby, therefore I don't need either one. So therefore, she goes and is niskadesh to Yosef. Now the problem is, though, the baby did pass away within 30 days. So what happens? So we're saying that if Yosef is Yisrael, first she should do chalitza with Shimon, and only then could she go and continue and continue getting married to and living with Yosef. Yeah. No, because it's a suffix whether the baby was considered alive or not. If the baby was considered alive, then she's not allowed to be an issue ever for her to marry her husband's brother. Right. Im eshes koyen he ain chelatzis. So Ravina continues in the name of Rava. If the man that she was niskadish to now is a koyen. And now if she does chalitza, she's going to be also to him, because midrabanan, a kohen is also in a chalitza, ain't a chalitza, then you don't require her to do chalitza. You assume, we assume that we can rely on the opinion of the chachamim and say that it probably wasn't a nafel. And again, we had before that the Chachamim and Rav Shimon Gamliel argue and say that that if the baby didn't live 30 days, and we said we're talking about if nafal min agag va'ochle ari, that even if it was that if it died from some other external factor, so we said it's a suffix whether it would have lived or not. So we said the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, but still for this purpose we can rely on the opinion of the Chachamim and say that the baby was not considered a nafal, and allow her to get married to her new husband, the Kohen, because if she were to do chalitza, then she'd be also to him. Okay, Tosfos discusses over here the question that it's only a suffix chalitza, and maybe therefore she'd be mutter to the Kohen anyway. But nevertheless, Tosfos discusses that there's a distinction between the truth is over here. The truth is, she could actually do chalitza, and the koyan would be allowed to stay married to her. We're not going to make him divorce her misafik, but we don't want her to do chalitza shalei lahotzi laz al bonel. We don't want that people are going to think that it really was definitely a valid chalitza, and now her children with this koyan are chalalim. We don't want to do that. So therefore, so Ravina is saying in the name of Rava that we don't make her do chalitza in the first place in order to avoid that problem. On the other hand, Rav Shrevya Mishmei de Rava, Ama Achasu V'Achasu Chalitzas. Rav Shrevya says in the name of Rava that no, either way she would have to do Chalitza. It means that her husband is a Kohen, and then again, either the Kohen might be also to stay married to her. They already did Kedushin, maybe he'd have to divorce her, or according to Tosfos that there would be Laz. We're not worried about that. The fact is, we have a suffix. The halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel. You can't rely on the Chachamim, therefore the baby might have been a nafel, and therefore she needs Chalitza. So Ravina says to Rav Shrevya, it's true what you're saying, that Rava originally said that, but Rav only said that in the evening. The next morning he changed his mind and said that if she's niskadish to a Kohen, then she doesn't need chalitza. So you, Rav Shrevya, don't have complete information. You only know what Rava said the night before. You weren't in the Mismedrash the next morning to hear how he changed his mind. Amalei, so sort of Shrevia says, I can't agree. Shri Suha. So you're telling me you're matter her without chalitza? You're going against what Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying? Yehei Rava de Tishu Tarba. May it be Hashem's will that you should end up being matter chalev. Now, why is he saying that? On the face of it, what he's saying, in other words, chalev is definitely osur, and this is also definitely osur. So if you're going to be matter this, then you're going to end up being matter clear isurim like chalev as well. A couple of interesting pshetlach though on that. One is there's an Oruch Laner in the Gemara in Yevamos that brings this whole sugya. The Oruch Laner explains over there what it means is there's a certain kind of fat which the Gemara tells us in Chulin that that Rabbi Shmuel, who's a Kohen, held is mutter and the other Chachamim held is osur. So therefore, what he's telling him is you're trying to help out the Kohenim over here. You're trying to make that this new guy who was Makadish, who was a Kohen, should be able to stay married to her and she shouldn't need chalitza. So maybe you need to be also matter, that kind of chalev, not the real kind of chalev that everybody agrees is also, but that kind of corner case, which Kohenim, like Rabbi Shmuel, hold as mutter. If you're trying to help out Kohenim, then you'll end up helping out Kohenim in other ways like that also. There's also a vote from a Tzadik HaKohen of Lublin. He says, sometimes you can have a situation where a person does an Avera, where a person does something, or it's a Suffolk Avera. They're not sure if they did an Avera or not. So therefore, they're not prone to necessarily do Tshuva on it. Maybe I did the Avera, maybe not. We know, in fact, for that reason, the Torah is Machmir. When a person has a Suffolk, whether they ate Chalev or not, they have to bring an Oshem Toler, which is more expensive than a regular Chatas, because a person is less prone, a person is likely to start rationalizing and saying, I don't really need to do Tshuva, I didn't do anything wrong, etc. So what happens? Sometimes the Eibishter will put him in a situation where he ends up doing a more definite Avera, and then he realizes, then he starts thinking back, you know what, I got to do Tshuva for that one. While I'm at it, let me also do Tshuva for the other one as well. So here also, sort of Shrevia is telling him, if you're being matir, this case over here, which I can't agree is mutter, you're saying that Rava changed his mind. Not necessarily did Rava change his mind, maybe it just means he wasn't sure, whatever. So what should happen is, the Eibishter should put you in a situation where you end up being matir, a clear iser, and then you're going to do Tshuva for that, and with that, you'll do Tshuva for this as well. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, okay, so again, the bottom line is we have this machlokas of Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim, whether a baby that didn't live for 30 days is considered a Suffolk Nafel or not. The halachas like Rav Shimon Gamliel, and therefore, it's relevant as far as the dinim of Yibum. It's also relevant, by the way, as far as the dinim of inheritance. If the Rambam paskins that and it's brought in Shulchan Aruch that if the baby outlives his father by even a short amount of time, then he yarshins from his father. Then he yarshins from his father, and then the Ravid disagrees with that though on the basis of Or Gemara and says not necessarily you should have a suffix whether he actually yarshin or not.
Is there a pasuk for a chalitza for a kohen?
One second, Abraham Moshe. What are we? Right. Well, that's the question. In other words, that's the question. If the baby is not 30 days, right. So the question is, if the baby is not 30 days old when the father passed away, or for that matter, if he was born after the father passed away, and then the baby himself did not live 30 days, we're saying he's a Suffolk Nathal. But the Rambam says that's not really relevant as far as the dinim of Yerusha. As far as Yerusha, the baby is gonna inherit from his father, and therefore, if he passes away, then it's gonna go in his line rather than, for example, to the father's other children from. Whether the father might have other children from another wife, let's say, whereas the Raiva disagrees with that. Now, what were you asking of our Moshe?
Is there a pasuk for chalitza for a coin like there is for a get? If not, where do we know?
So that's the thing. It's a gzeira d'rabbanan. It's a gzeira d'rabbanan that a coin is not allowed to marry a chalitza. Min haTorah is not allowed to marry a grusha, min d'rabbanan also not a chalitza.
Why did they make this gzeira?
Because one reason is because a chalutza is somewhat similar to a grusha. A chalutza, after all, had a zika. She had a connection with the yavam, and now you do chalutza, and that breaks that connection. So it's somewhat similar to gerushin, and therefore the chachamim found it necessary to make that tekana. Okay.
But it's a very public thing, chalutza.
That's fine.
Everybody
That's a very
knows.
Thing. That's fine. And the Kohen is also to marry her. So what we're saying over here is, again, so Ravina is saying that Rava changed his mind and said that if she was Niskadish to a Kohen, then we're not going to require her to do Chalitza Misafik over here, Misafik, whether the baby was a Nafel or not, in order not to asa her to her husband, the Kohen.
Is that the Halacha?
That's the Halacha, yeah. Okay.
We're not going to require.
We're not going to require, but if she's Niskadish to a Yisrael, then we're going to require it because there's no harm in it, right? Okay, right. let's finish off over here. Rabbi Yehuda Matur v'chola, we said that when you have a suffix, which one of the sphakas is an androgynous, a baby that has both male and female genitals, so we said you're not machal Shabbos for the bris. We said Rabbi Yehuda Matur v'chola, Rabbi Yehuda is matur in the case of an androgynous to do the bris on Shabbos. So Omer of Shizbi, Omer of Chista, loy lakoil Omer of Yehuda androgynous sachahu. It's not, you shouldn't think that Rabbi Yehuda says that for all purposes in halacha, an androgynous is considered like a male. Now you do have a certain opinion about that. You do have a certain opinion to that effect. You have an opinion, I think, of Rabbi Lazar ben Shamua, who says that an androgynous is considered a male for all purposes in halacha. And for example, according to that, a person has relations with him, another man has relations with him, he'd be chayiv skila for mishkav zachar. You shouldn't think that Rabbi Yehuda holds that. If you were going to say that Rabbi Yehuda holds that an androgynous is considered a zachar for all purposes, then when it comes to erchin, if a person were to say about an androgynous, you would have to pay an erich. And we know the halacha is that you don't. How do we know, in fact, that you don't pay an erech for an androgynous? The Tanya, because we learn in a Braisa. Hazocher, when the pasuk says you give an erech for a male who's such and such an age, and you have the extra hay over there. The extra hay teaches us for loy tumtum v'androgynous, not a tumtum v'androgynous. Tosfos says we're not learning from the hay. We're learning from the word zocher itself. So continues the Braisa, Yochol lo yehei be'erech ish, avo yehei be'erech isha. Now you would think, if you didn't have otherwise in the pasuk, you would think, okay, you say the erech of an androgynous, fine, you're not going to pay the erech of a man, which is higher, but maybe you should have to pay the erech of a woman, which is lower. So let's say, in other words, the pasuk tells us, for example, that for a person between 20 and 60 years old, a man's erech is 50 shekel, a woman's is 30. So you would say, you say the erech yolai of an androgynous between 20 and 60. So you would think, okay, the pasuk is saying hazocher, so you're not going to pay the erech of 50 because an androgynous is not really fully a zocher, but maybe you should have to pay the 30 shekel as if it was a woman. No, Talmud Loima hazocher v'im nekevahi. No, because the pasuk says the zocher, and if it's a nekeva, and it says v'im, so therefore it means zocher vado nekeva vadois. So only if it's a definite male, a definite female, v'loy tumtum androgynous, not a tumtum or an androgynous, you don't pay an erech for them. Actually, there's a complicated sugya in Bechoros where Rav Chista says over there that you take out the word tumtum, because he says that a tumtum, if you tear open the skin over there and you find that it's a zacher, then it is considered a zacher and a nekeva and a nekeva. It's a very complicated sugya over there. Tosfos refers to it, the last Tosfos on the Amud over here. Anyway. Ustam Sifra Rabbi Yehuda. Now this is a braisa from Sifra, because a braisa on Vayikra, it's a braisa in Teras Kohenim and Sifra. Stam Sifra is Rabbi Yehuda. So we see that even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that an androgynous is not considered a zocher for all purposes in halacha. Only by bris over here is he saying that it is considered a yomachal Shabbos for the bris. Amr of Nachman, Reitzok Afanan Nami Tanena. In fact, we have another Mishnah that says, another Braisa rather, that says, actually it is a Mishnah, it's a Mishnah in Masechta Para, that says the same thing. Hakol Ksherim Lakadosh, the Mishnah says, everybody is kosher to do Kiddush Mechatos, to put the ashes of Parah Adoma into the water, Chutz Mecheres Shotev Akaten, except for a Cheres Shotev Akaten, Rabbi Yehuda Machshu Bakaten, or Poisel Beishu of Androgynous. Rabbi Yehuda says a cotton is kosher to do it, but a woman or an androgynous is possible, for reasons that the Gemara, there's a Sugya in Yuma, where the Gemara explains how Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim Darshan the Psukim over there about who's kosher and who's not. The point is, Rabbi Yehuda is saying a woman is possible and also an androgynous is possible. So we see, for that purpose, Rabbi Yehuda considers an androgynous like a woman. So Umayshna Mila. So in that case, why is it different by Mila? Why by Mila does Rabbi Yehuda say that you are Mechal Shabbos for the Bris? Do Mishum Dichtiv Himalachem Kol Zachar? Because the pasuk says, make a Bris for all males, and Rabbi Yehuda holds all males, meaning even if he's only a mixed-sex male, because he has the genitals of a male and a female. Nevertheless, he still definitely requires a Bris, and therefore, like any other definite Bris, you would be Mechal Shabbos. Whereas the Chum disagree, and they say that it would mean it would have to be a complete zocher in order to do the bris. Okay, the halacha is like a chamim, so an androgynous bris doesn't take place on Shabbos. Okay. Shkoyach.